And that's the first thing he teaches you, is that the disciples were always arguing and trailing hot and along behind him. And they were always arguing about who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. And he kept correcting them. And finally, they all said, "We'll follow you to death." Because after Peter said that, it says in another place, and if you look at Matthew and Luke, they all said that, and so said they all.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, I've looked at that for a long time, and I still pray a lot. And I always try to stay within the confines of what I think God would want me to do. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you the dog's going to be in heaven. But I am going to tell you that there's a lot more to this than I thought. And a lot more to this than I thought. Now, Jesus tells us of a rest at salvation, and of a rest if we let him teach us. And I learned this because the Greek words that I studied when I was in school, they were a tremendous help to me. And when I came here, and Brother Elder, the elder brother, trustee, I talked to him some, and I said, there's something here that I need to understand. And what I needed to understand is, why are there two different groups at the Great White Throne of Judgment? The seminary asked me, after I did my first lecture series, to write a book. And I wrote the book. And they wouldn't publish it because of what I had put on the last page, last chapter. And I wasn't very mature then, but maybe they weren't either. I don't know. But after a while, I just got to the point where I said, well, Lord, I can't blame you, and I don't want to blame you, and I'm scared to blame you. I talked pretty plain to God, and I was always afraid he'd kill me if I offended him.
Yeah.
So finally, I came to understand that there's something about this that you just can't understand. And God said you wouldn't be able to tell the time of the first resurrection, but I'll call it the rapture because most people understand it by that name. And I've learned a lot since then. And so that's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to take this thing to Tommy. Tommy and I already believe this. And we came to believe it after I was helped by the senior trustee and his son, also his son. And so it's been a great blessing in my life, and I mention it quite often. I realize too often, probably. But this is something that I'm very confident on, and it helped me to understand something about the rapture. And the thing I learned was, I never will be able to tell when the rapture occurs, the day, the week, the month, or the year. I never will be. But I am learning some things that are going to happen, and I'm learning some time things about it, how it all blends together. So this is something that, as I go through it, I'll try eventually by the end of the time I think that the rapture might occur, or time span, or whatever you want to call it. Jesus tells us of a rest at salvation, and of a rest if we let him teach us, part two. I've taught this before. I'll teach it again, because we're headed for it. And it really is going to occur before most people think. I'm talking about the world in general and the people in other churches that know Christ, but after they come to know Christ, they just don't grow much. And I used to take the rap myself and say, well, you're just not doing this right. And yeah, that's true. It has to be true. I'm a human being, you know. But I've come to understand some things that I'm headed for. So this is part two. And I believe all of you here tonight probably know the Lord as your Savior. And so when I first came to Christ, that was a night that I was overjoyed. I was so happy I couldn't believe it. And I remember when one young man in this church got saved, I never saw anybody so happy in my life. And he made great profession of faith and kept running all over everybody in camp and kept telling them he was saved. And he was. But that's very unusual. Most of the time, they go through a period where they keep asking the Lord to save them. And after they go home and they do some bad things again, they wonder if they've lost their salvation. That's a very normal thing. So the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I knew I was a child of God before I ever went down the aisle. And I was saved in a Sunday school class. I had listened to her, and I had a lot of respect for her. And she always taught about Jesus. She always taught he died for my sins. She always taught that salvation was something that the longer you were saved, the more you understood about it if you continued to study. I listened to that. I believed it. So when I went down the aisle and they tried to take me down a Roman road, I kept trying to tell him I was already saved. And I'm going through this many times, so I'm going to stop right there. So there is an instantaneous relief of rest we receive when we finally come to him to serve him, to save us. When he finally come to him to save us. I was saved when I was in Sunday school class. And I knew I was saved in Sunday school class. And I knew there was something I was supposed to do. You say, well, you would have known. Well, then you don't have a God called preacher up here, because I'll just tell you the truth. I knew I was supposed to do something, but I didn't know exactly what it was. I know God had called me to do something, and it was perplexing to me. And so when they tried to lead me down a Roman road, I wouldn't do it. Because, anyway, I've told that story so many times, I've worn it out. No amens, please. This is an instantaneous relief. There is an instantaneous relief of rest when we finally come to him to save us.
Why?
I got tremendous relief in that Sunday school class. I never felt so great in my life. I was saved! And what caused that? But I was saved, and I knew it. And I knew that God had called me to do something. There wasn't any question in my mind. But there I was. Well, I went home that night, or that particular night, and I sinned again. And I thought, well, I guess, what did I do wrong? And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get over it. I just couldn't get over it. And so I sat there in church and listened and listened and listened and listened, and I thought, what am I going to tell him when I get down there? Because we had people surrendered at the ministry. You know where they are now? They're not in the ministry anymore. You know, when I went to the seminary and we got there, first thing John Payne did, or John Penn did, was to kick a chair. He says he didn't do this, but he doesn't have that good a memory. I think mine's better than his, because it really made an impression on the people in the class. He walked across there, and he turned around. He's only got one eye. He turned around and looked like this. Now, I didn't know he only had one eye. And so when he turned around and looked like this, he said, I hope there's not anybody in here that's come down here for a free meal, or some words to that effect. And poor old Joe Carlton and I, we didn't have any idea what he was talking about. So then John Penn kicked the window, kicked the chair, kicked it all the way across the front of the room. It went over and broke a window. Well, that got Joe's attention and mine. And so we became real good friends after that. I said, Lord have mercy, Joe. I said, what's happening? He said, I don't know. And the old boy over at the window was scared to death. Well, that old boy at the window, he's not in the ministry anymore. But, John Penn understood all this. And poor old Joe Carlton and I, all we knew were that we were supposed to be serving the Lord. And we were God called, but we just didn't. I'm explaining this to you because some of you may have the same problem. But I began to ask myself, what about these poor people that get called like that and they're lost? What happens to them? Well, I figured it out as much as I could. And I finally wrote the last chapter in that book, the first book I ever wrote. And the seminary wouldn't publish it because of what I wrote. And so I wasn't mad. I was just thoroughly confused. And so I went home and I told Imogene, I said, honey, I thought I was doing the right thing. I said, they asked me to do it. Now they tell me they don't like the last chapter. And I said, it's what I believe and I can't stop it. I said, I'm saved. And I wasn't mad or anything. So I just took the book and I put it up on the top shelf. And I said, well, I guess that finishes that. But I knew God had called me to something. There wasn't any question about it. Now, the rest we receive as he teaches us. I wish somebody had explained this to me. Because this is something that I might have been easier to listen. But if you want to know who taught me this, it was God. God taught me this. He taught me this. You say, did he speak to you? No. Did he whisper in your ear? No. You say, well, what did he do? And I said, well, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of. And I looked up the word of. That's the best translation you can have. I put this in parentheses because it also means from. But because I began to study. It said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I started studying. He said, and learn of or from me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That was when I realized, if God doesn't teach me, I'll never figure this out. I had a lot of confidence in myself because I really had studied hard. I really had gone to all these schools and everything. And I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And that's the truth. Yeah. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, I was saved. And I did find rest unto my soul. I was saved. I was saved. I was saved. And I was saved to do something. What? Serve God. Well, are you certain? Yeah, I was called to serve God. The first thing he teaches us is the security of the believer in him. That's why I had such a hard time with it. I had learned the security of the believer long before I was ever called to preach. And I knew I was saved. You say, why did God save you early? I don't have the foggiest idea. But I knew that he called me, and I knew he called me to do something. And I kept running across this word, bondservant, bondservant, bondservant. And I determined he called me to be a bondservant. Well, what does a bondservant do? John 5:24, verily, verily, truly, truly. He said, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, I heard his word. I heard it directly from my Sunday school teacher. And when I heard it, I got saved. My Sunday school teacher didn't save me. God saved me. And I had talked to God about it a lot. I was willing to do anything he wanted. Or was I? Or was I? That's the big question. Or was I? How would you like to know you were supposed to be a bondservant and you were scared to death? If you did it wrong, you'd go to hell. How do you do that? I was saved, and I wasn't going to back off from it. I was saved. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. My Sunday school teacher was a very studious woman, and she told me about these words and what they meant, and I got me a concordance, and I began to look in all that. And I said, that teaches me something. Truly, truly. And he said, I ain't joking about this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath, present indicative active, hath everlasting life. I didn't know what hath meant. I didn't know what a present indicative active was. I thought it might be something you killed in the woods. But I was called. And I knew it, and shall not come into condemnation, but is present indicative, but is passed from death unto life. So my main problem was I just didn't understand. I was supposed to serve God because I was called to do so. 2 Peter 1:2-9. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Well, who's the smartest being in all of creation? The one who made it. The one who made it, God. And so grace and peace had been multiplied to me through the knowledge of God. And I had studied about Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I said, I am God called to preach. But I still looked at it and I said, why do I not have this zeal that all these preachers have in the class? Now, I'm going to tell you this, and please don't get it wrong. Please don't misunderstand it. You would be amazed how big a class we had. Oh, Lord, I don't remember for sure, but I think we had about 65. We had a huge class. And the preachers would get up during class and start preaching. And Paul Goodwin was teaching the class. John Penn shut him down pretty quick. But the truth is, I listened to those guys and I thought, good Lord, I'm not that committed. They'd get up and they'd told when they surrendered to preach and how much they loved the Lord and all this, and they'd tell the whole thing and how God had called them to preach. And I'm sitting out there with Joe Carson, and I said, Joe, you're saved, aren't you? He goes, yeah. I said, do you know that for sure? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, well, I feel the same way, but I said, do you feel like these guys? Joe said, no, I don't feel anything like them. I said, well, neither do I, Joe. But I said, when we get some time, you know, we have study halls and all that stuff, or when we get some preachers that come in there that didn't know their lattice rectum from a hole in the ground, when that happened, Joe and I would go upstairs, and we would, and one of the teachers up there would let us go up there and study. Because we got to know all those preachers that came in there from other schools, and Lord, we were in better shape than they were. At least I thought we were. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. The more I learned about God, the more I learned I wasn't like him. The more I understood about it, God is meek and lowly. And of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. God hath given me all things pertaining unto life and godliness, worship rightly directed, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, That's what I was called to. I knew that when I went down the aisle. But I didn't understand what it meant to surrender your life to the Lord. I didn't. But I knew I had. You may think this is weird, but that's the way it was. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. And so I determined God's going to have to teach me this, because I know I'm called. And I know when God calls you, He calls you to this. And I want to be a partaker of His divine nature. And here's the thing. I didn't think I was worthy. If John the Baptist didn't think he was worthy to untie his shoelaces, who was I? What in the world am I thinking about here? So I thought, I can't be God called like this. But I knew I had to be, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, having escaped is past tense. I knew I had escaped the corruption that was in the world through lust. I knew I wasn't going to hell. What if I had died? Now, this is a supposition. What if I had died while I was going through this transition of knowing I was saved, knowing I was called to be meek and lowly, and called to preach the gospel? I knew this, and I had escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I was saved. I didn't know about that. Suppose I had died while I was still in the womb. And suppose, this is just supposition, so you don't have to pay attention to this, but suppose I had wanted to go on and surrender my life, just completely surrender it. Add to your faith virtue. I looked up virtue and what it meant. I looked it up in a reliable lexicon. He says, add to your faith virtue. Well, he says, you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, he said, give ye all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. How do you do that? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then what do you do? Add to knowledge temperance. I looked up the word temperance. And to temperance, patience. I looked up the word patience, hypomone. And that became the symbol of my life. Hypomene, endurance. And to patience, godliness. You say, well, who's going to teach you temperance? God. Who's going to teach you patience? God. Who's going to teach you brotherly kindness? God. And if these things be in you, I knew they were in me. There wasn't doubt about it. And abound. Well, how am I going to abound? They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I got out of that? Just do what pleases Him. You say, well, Lord, I want to please you. I'm scared. I was scared. I thought, what if I do this and God's not with me? But I had to do it. I had to do it. And it wasn't long until I started getting persecution. So I said, I must be saved, because I'm getting persecuted from my own brethren. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You better think I did see afar off. I'm not a prophet. The law and the prophets were until John. But I had never forgotten that I was purged from my old sins. And I came to learn that Jesus had run the race for me. He had won the race for me. He had finished the race. He had kept on convicting me, and he had taught me what this was all about. The first two, virtue and knowledge, are not all that difficult to obtain, because God himself is, he's just naturally, in his own way of thinking and looking at things, he is meek and lowly. That's the way he is. That's the natural way he is. You weren't born that way. I wasn't born that way. It's something we have to learn. And I don't know of anybody we can learn it from except God. And I didn't know any way to learn it, to learn it except study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And along the trail, I came to realize that all those preachers that were in there, that got up and jumped up and surrendered to preach, guess where they were after the first year? They weren't there anymore. You say, weren't where? At the seminary. They weren't there anymore. And I said, well, Joe and I talked about this. We said, we were both sure we were called. Joe was saved in church, in a revival meeting. I was saved in my Sunday school teacher's teaching. But we both knew that God had a work for us, and we both knew that we were supposed to add virtue and knowledge, and we continued all the way through. We've been good friends ever since, and Joe has gone through the loss of his son's wife, and we've become two men that we know who we believe. We know who saved us, and we know why he saved us. We don't understand some things. I don't know where I'm going to be placed in the millennial reign, but I believe I'm going to be in heaven. I believe I'm going to be in heaven. I don't believe I'm one of the two witnesses. I just believe I'm Tom Michael Murray, and that God called me to do what I did, am doing, and will continue to do. That I believe. The application of these two, virtue and knowledge, are the most difficult assignment you will ever face in this present life as a believer. God gave me a good mind. You say, well, why? How do you know that? Well, I brag about it all the time. That's how I know about it. The truth of the matter is, I knew I had to add the virtue and knowledge, temperance. But to be honest with you and straightforward and truthful, I learned more about myself than I learned about God. I learned he's meek and lowly. And I learned I'm not. I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized. God meant for me to be the pastor of a New Testament church. He meant for me to study to show myself approved. And God taught me that I wasn't all that hot a preacher. He taught me meekness, temperance. He taught me how to crucify the flesh with the affections and lust. He taught me how to fight against the devil. He taught me that he had already won the battle. But he told me that if I didn't keep coming back to him, I wasn't going to grow. And if I didn't grow, I wouldn't spend eternity without having to go through a small amount of suffering. I believe that. I think that that's just part of it. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, I'm not one of the two witnesses, but I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to get more spiritual toward God than I am now. And I only know how to do that this way. Study to show thyself unto God. Show thyself. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You want to know what's wrong with most of our churches? I found out. Much as I traveled, I must be a slow learner, but as much as I travel, our churches are filled with vainglory. They provoke one another. They envy one another. Why in heaven's name should I envy anybody that is a servant of God? I don't envy them. I thank God that they do what they do. And I mean that. And they're my friend, and I wouldn't do anything in the world to hurt them. And so God sent the perfect man in here to set an example for me, and it was Chuck's dad. And then I met Chuck. And I said, well, I ain't too sure this works. No, I like Chuck from the beginning. I love his dad taught him a lot, and he believed a lot his dad believed. And I learned not to be different. I still love attention. I still love recognition. I still love praise. But by the grace of God, I rejoice in anybody that is more spiritual than I am. And it don't take much. But I am God called, and I am your pastor. And I try to love all those that know him as Savior and pray for those who don't. Now, in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, I, therefore, conclusion, the prisoner of the Lord, he said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that you walk worthy of the vocation. That word vocation is the same word, Greek word used for worthy. That you walk worthy of the worthy wherein ye are called. This is what I was called to do. You say, how do you know? God taught me. You say, well, are you one of the two witnesses? No. You say, have you ever thought you were? I won't lie to you. There was a time in my life that I thought I might be. You say, what changed your mind? What I learned about God. When I saw that he himself was the only one who was really worthy or could be worthy, he was the only one who was completely sold out, God himself. And I looked at that and I was so ashamed. I just wanted to crawl under a rug. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. I want to learn more and more about the Lord. I want to learn more and more about myself. I want to learn more and more about what the church represents and the people that are in it. And I want to learn about people, why there are two different groups in the last two chapters of Revelation. I want to know. And I've always wanted to know, but I never could get an answer that gave me proof that I needed to just walk worthy of the vocation wherein I was called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And in knowledge, temperance. Galatians 5:26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Galatians 5:23. Meekness, temperance. Again, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's what's wrong in a lot of our churches. I've been to churches and they have called me to a meeting, and I thought the pastor was naturally going to be there. And he told me he wasn't going, and I said, wait a minute. I said, I'm not going over there without you. He said, no, he said, I'm not going, Tom. And he was a good friend. I asked him why. He said, well, I'm just not going. When I got over there, they lined chairs all around the wall. in a huge room. And they asked me, if they vacated the pulpit, would I accept the pastorate? Yeah. I couldn't believe it was happening. I could not believe it was happening. Because I knew that wasn't right. So I chewed them all out, right. I mean, I let them have it with both barrels. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, that ye cannot do the things that you would. God was teaching me about people. He was teaching me about myself. He was teaching me what was wrong with my attitude, and he was showing me that these people had the complete wrong way, and they were trying to hurt a man. They were trying to get rid of him. And I knew the man, and I knew he was dedicated. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Well, if I had enough sense to figure out they weren't led of the Spirit, I knew I was led of the Spirit because I let them have it. They never asked me to come back again. Then they ran the pastor off. I therefore, the pastor of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Ephesians 4:3-6. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what we ought to concentrate on in this church. And loving one another. There is one body and one Spirit. I capitalize Spirit. There is one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. God has something for everybody to do in the church. He lays it out. Now I understand what I was called to do. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So I'd ask you to pray for those who seem to lose interest. We've had, Brother Shipley was a wonderful deacon. He was interested in the work. And he was kind to me, and I appreciated him. And he's with the Lord now. I appreciate Chuck's dad. It's always something that happens to a person when they get to the point where they say, Lord, I want to be a bondservant. And you look at it and you say, good heavens. And you say, I can't do that. And then God can use you. God can use you then. Because, my goodness gracious, what you learn after you surrender to preach and what you go through, you learn so much about yourself that you change. And your son, Charlie, was the one young man I saw that when he got saved, he got saved. And he stayed in the faith. And they're still in the faith. Charlie, there aren't many people like that. And I prayed for him. And not that that had anything to do with it. God just had him. God decided, I'm going to use this one. And he has been faithful all the way through. You're very fortunate, Charlie. You're very fortunate. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you before you leave, I really think I understand this business about the last two groups at the Great White Throne of Judgment. I think I understand it now. So I'm going to preach on that probably on Sunday morning. It's my time to preach, I think. And I'm going to preach on that because I think I've only gone twice to preach in view of a call since I've been here, and I never will forget what happened when I went there. I felt guilty the whole time I was going down there. I felt like, you're not trusting the Lord very much, are you? And then I got down there, and oh, they ranted and raved about my wonderful preaching, and they puffed me up like a marshmallow. And so I had finished, and I was outside getting ready to leave and go back to the where I was staying. And an old man came over to me. God, he looked like he must have been 180. And he came over to me and he said, "Preacher, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Well, go ahead." He said, "You don't want to come to this church." He said, "This church has got people in here that will run you off." He said, "They may brag on your preaching. They may do this and they may do that." But he said, "This church is never going to be able to keep a preacher." And so far he's been right. That was a long, long time ago. So you live and learn. It's two things that are important when you serve God. I've learned this. Listen to what other preachers have to say. You might learn something. And one of the smartest things I ever did was start listening to Chuck's dad. And then I started listening to Chuck. Between them, they helped me a lot. And I'll be eternally grateful for that. Pray for those who don't. What am I supposed to do?
You got to ask them about that missionary coming on July 25th.
What date is that?
It's on a Wednesday and it's July 25th.
July 25th, our missionary that we have over in
Mongolia.
In Mongolia.
It's a different one. It's not.
Huh?
It's the preacher that's working with him. It's Dennis Carroll.
Yeah, Brother Carroll.
Yeah, he wants to come.
Okay, well, he's been here. Is his wife coming with him?
Is that the same man?
Huh?
Is that the same man?
Yeah.